Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. As usual, this is America's Great Loop Cruisers Association's weekly blog radio show. I'm doing this alone today, unless Steve dials in. He's having some trouble connecting, so if anyone wants to dial in and ask comments or questions, it may take me a minute to connect. For those non-members out there listening to the show, the Great Loop is the continuous waterway that includes the eastern portion of North America, which, of course, is the Atlantic and Gulf Intracoastal Waterways, the Great Lakes, the Canadian Heritage Canals, and the inland river systems of America's heartland. AGLCA, as we call ourselves, is an organization of people who share that sense of adventure and curiosity about America's Great Loop. Our association's primary purpose is to give you information and enhance the overall experience of anyone who is dreaming about, learning, exploring, cruising, or has completed America's Great Loop. Our website is www.greatloop.org. We'd love for you to become a member and visit, and there's loads of information on that page. Before we get started, I would like to mention and thank our Admiral sponsors, Curtis Stokes & Associates, Dog River Marina, Regatta Point Yachting Center, Waterway Guides and Magazines, and Skipper Bob Publications. Okay, many of our loopers will be spending the summer in the Chesapeake. Tom Hale, former editor of the Waterway Guide and now the cruising editor for the Chesapeake, we'll start the discussion. Tom, whatever you want to talk about is great. Just why don't you start us on what you love about the Great Loop, about the Chesapeake's Great Loop.
Thank you, Janice. I'd be glad to do that. I've been a member of AGLCA for going on 5 years, and I haven't managed to get off the bay yet. But let me tell you a little bit about why. I love the bay. We love the scenery, whether it's the open marshes on the eastern shore, the small towns, or the protected deep anchorages on the western shore with bigger towns and cities. There's wildlife to be seen, whether it's dolphins, turtles, eagles, ospreys. There's a lot of history and some very interesting culture in the Chesapeake Bay region, because the area was originally an agrarian-based economy that then moved over to a seafood-based economy, which has largely been supplanted now by a recreational boating and second home economy.
But so it's basically gone through different personalities.
Right. And it's a 200-mile-long estuary, and up at the northern end, the water is fresh, and down at the southern end, the water is salt. And this change means changes in what you're going to see, the animals, the flora, the fauna, and the seafood businesses that are trying to earn a living here on the bay. There are thousands of miles of shoreline here, hundreds of towns and anchorages, and quite frankly, could spend a lifetime exploring this place. So I'm going to start with a sort of view from the south moving north, which is unusual because generally I talk from the north-south, but I know that cruisers in the Great Loop will be probably starting after a rendezvous in Norfolk and heading up the bay. So let me tell you a little bit about navigating the bay, the tides, winds, weather, and whatnot that will help you. First of all, the bay, when it's high tide in Norfolk, it will be low tide in Solomons at the middle of the bay and high tide again in Baltimore. Now, what's interesting about the bay is it's a river, and consequently, the water is generally more flowing southward than north. You'll have 7 hours of south flowing current versus 5 hours of north flowing current. So if you're going up the bay, there's a way to capture this and take advantage of it. The high tide at Norfolk is a wave that will be moving up the bay at 15 miles an hour. So if you can run at 15 knots and you leave Norfolk at high tide, you can, excuse me, at maximum flood, you can carry that all the way to Baltimore. So any of us with trawlers that don't go quite that fast should try and leave ports in the lower bay sometime just after low tide, as the tide is starting to flood, and that way you will carry the flood tide for several hours further. So that's one of the little wrinkles about the tides on the bay.
Excuse me, sir, winds on the bay. Is there a problem with depth, or do you usually have good depth the whole way?
Well, I will come to that, but the depth,
okay, sorry.
My experience here on the Chesapeake, that's fine. No, good question. My experience on the Chesapeake is that people run aground just as often in a boat that draws 7 feet as one that draws 3 feet, because we're always trying to cut the point a little too close. Fortunately,
uh-huh.
The bottom here is very forgiving. It's generally mud, sometimes sand. You won't find rocks except at the head of the rivers, the head of the Potomac or the James or up by the Habit of Grace. The winds on the bay are relatively benign. The upper bay has a reputation for having no wind in the summer, and it's earned. The southern bay generally has better winds all year round, maybe a little too much spring and fall, but good cooling winds in the summer. As far as the weather, we're in the mid-Atlantic, so the sweater weather is over by the 1st of May, and the month of May is absolutely glorious with long days and cool weather. And then you get nice weather again in September, October, but the days, of course, are much shorter. Now, there are a few pieces of equipment that I think will enhance your enjoyment of the bay. Obviously, you need to have a depth finder. I am happy to say that, by and large, the general charted areas of the Chesapeake on the NOAA charts are remarkably accurate. Certainly around points of lands and in dredged channels, okay, that may not be so, but we cruise hundreds of days and have been found it remarkable how accurate the NOAA charts are. We also find that a dinghy is very helpful. Certainly we go to marinas often, but we also like to anchor. And by exploring with our dinghy, which has a depth finder in it, we have found several beautiful coves to anchor in, which you would think you couldn't enter if you didn't know where to find it, how to find the channel. So a dinghy enhances your enjoyment of cruising the bay, particularly as there are some beautiful rivers and you may anchor in a nice cove and want to explore for a few miles up the river. Bugs on the bay are, the bay has a bad reputation for it, but I think most cruisers on the bay have figured out that the bugs are along the shore. In other words, if you're at a marina, you're much more likely to have mosquitoes, mayflies, gnats, than if you're anchored 100 yards offshore. We frequently anchor and have very seldom had any trouble with bugs when we're anchored out away from the shore. Sun is also your friend and your enemy. You cruising on the bay are going to want to have sun protection overhead at the, you know, the height of the sun between 10 and 2. Sunblock, sun protection, because the sun is pretty intense. Now, if we want to talk about cruising the bay, there are sort of three regions that are not very precisely defined. The lower bay runs up to roughly the Potomac River. This has the saltier water, obviously. It's much more wide open. Parts of the southern bay are 30 miles across. You can actually be out of sight of land. The southern bay has sandy beaches that are just there to explore, and far, far fewer boats. So the Southern Bay region is quite a different kind of cruising, type of cruising than further up the bay. In the Middle Bay, that's the area where you'll find some of the most interesting rivers. The Rappahannock River has a lot to offer. The Pocomoke River is a cypress swamp, and it is spectacular. The Potomac River is one of the most underutilized cruising grounds on the Chesapeake, and not only are there great marinas and great anchorages all the way to D.C., when you get to D.C., you have all of the historical Nolan museums and other historical sites to visit in D.C. You can get ashore easily for meals. If you have the extra week or two on your way up the bay, I highly recommend you take a left at Smith Point and head up the Potomac.
Tom, I'm going to interrupt you for 1 second. We have a caller, so I need to see who they are and introduce them. Can you hold on a minute?
Sure. Absolutely.
Hi, this is Janice. Can you identify yourself?
Oh, hi. It's Chris Wilson. I'm calling from Portsmouth Ocean Marine.
Uh-huh.
Sure. Yeah, like, you know, I was trying to get on this Blog Talk Radio. I'm talking to you on my phone, but I'm having a lot of difficulty at your website trying to hook up.
Okay, well, we'll address that offline. Did you want to ask a question or just listen in?
Well, I'd like to listen in so I could ask a question, but like I say, I'm on the phone. I had to use the 877 number, but I can't seem to follow the instructions you have here to get on the website.
Okay, well, then you can email bmchugh@greatloop.org, and I'm going to let Tom take the floor again.
Yeah, and let me just mention that I have many times provided personalized, if you will, cruise guides to people in AGLCA going up the bay. You can reach me through the AGLCA email listserv, and if you have specific questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them that way.
Okay, that's great. I'll listen on the radio, on the telephone, but maybe Janice, you could check, because it says go to the travel section, and there is no travel section on the blog radio.
No, I'll address it later on. Let's get Tom back. Just email me with your name
All right.
phone number and email
okay.
address, and I'll take care of it.
Thank you.
Chris, I don't know how much you heard, but we're moving from the Southern Bay northward, and we're a little bit short on time, so I'm not going to review all of it, but I'd be glad to take your questions offline, too. The Middle Bay has got lots of wonderful rivers. I was just mentioning how great the Potomac is. Very few boats are on the Potomac. Some of the most beautiful anchorages are on the Potomac, and some of the friendliest marinas are on the Potomac. I hate to tell people how wonderful it is for fear that there'll be more people come down here and enjoying my backyard.
you like to keep
also,
it quiet.
I'm gonna come up with my you know, top three or four places to visit, but also in the Middle Bay, you've got the Patuxent River, which is very underutilized and beautiful, with many nice anchorages, not very many marinas. And the Choptank River, which is where Oxford and Cambridge are, is just a spectacular body of water. When you enter that body of water, the water is lighter, brighter, cleaner, greener. It's just spectacular. So that's what the Middle Bay is. And, you know, it's different from the Lower Bay, but it's got beauty all its own. Now, the Upper Bay is basically from the Choptank River to the headwaters. It's more confined cruising. You can always see one shore or the other or both. The water is fresher, which means that the foliage, the trees, actually grow right down to the edge of the bay, where in the Southern Bay you can easily find a sandy beach to go for a walk. In the Northern Bay, you may actually be anchored underneath an overhanging tree, which is pretty in its own right, don't get me wrong.
Uh-huh.
And there are far, far more boats, where on the 4th of July week on the Potomac River, you might look up and down the river and see no boats on the water at all. You could be on the water in Annapolis in January and see 15 or 20 boats, and in midsummer, probably 200. So it's much more crowded up there, but there are the anchorages and cities and villages are much closer together, and if you only have a few weeks to spend, or a few days to spend, excuse me, you can see an awful lot of the bay and the Upper Bay very quickly and easily.
Uh-huh.
Now, what I call, what many of my friends in AGLCA do, is what I call three and out. They depart Norfolk, and they catch the tide up to Solomons, visit Solomons, Maryland for a day. That's at the mouth of the Patuxent River. Then they shoot over to St. Michael's for a day or two. They shoot over to Annapolis for a day or two. And then they go through the C&D and on with their cruise. And that's fine. Those are three good places to get a feel for the Chesapeake. However, you really are only getting the polished side of the Chesapeake, and there's so much more to see. If you want to stretch it out just a little longer, and I certainly encourage cruisers to do this, as you're coming up the bay, a visit to Tangier is an opportunity to see a real working waterfront village that hasn't changed. The island is too far from the mainland for people to get a job working at Lowe's or Pep Boys or something. So The people on that island are entirely waterfront based, and you see the workboats and the working watermen and the working watermen's families, and it's unique and worth seeing. It's got a fascinating little museum that I highly recommend.
Is
also
there a
the
marina
lower
there, Tom, or is it Anchorage?
Yes, there's Parks Marina is there. It doesn't have a lot of fancy things. They don't have a swimming pool. But if you're going to go to Tangier, if you go to Tangier, you're not going to see a polished city. You're going to see the real world of what a working waterfront town used to look like. And really, this is the only one I know of left on the bay, and I've been to most of the others. Cape Charles is a lovely little town that's coming back. They've got a nice city marina and a huge resort marina. So that's always a nice visit. Nancock has a very small town marina, but it's a beautiful town, very walkable with restaurants and shops. So if you're coming up the bay and you have a little extra time, whether it's Cape Charles, Nancock, Tangier, Smith Island, I highly recommend you get over onto that lower eastern shore section because it is a very unique area.
Okay, Tom, if I can interrupt you again, I'm sorry. We're just going to break through a quick commercial from one of our Admiral sponsors, Skipper Bob Publications.
Okay.
Did you know that every mile of the Great Loop is covered by Skipper Bob guides? Its mile-by-mile format is a great planning tool and essential at the helm. On the most popular routes and side trips, Skipper Bob covers preparation, navigation, bridges and locks, and the best places to visit. Skipper Bob guides are updated each year, and its website keeps you current with navigation alerts and cruising news. To check it out, go to skipperbob.net. Skipper Bob is a proud Admiral sponsor of AGLCA.
Thanks, Beth. Okay, Tom, why don't you pick up whatever you'd like to discuss next. We have about 10 more minutes, so let me know when it's time to break. And, of course, all our listeners out there, Tom will be back next week to finish exploring Chesapeake.
And, by the way, next week I'll be calling in from Tangier. This week I'm calling in from the Potomac. As I said, Tangier has a lovely museum that really explains the history of the area from very earliest days, long before Europeans got here, through the current challenges that the town faces as the crabs and oysters and fish are basically being so much less plentiful, and men have to leave the island to find work. In the Potomac River, it's a 1 to 2 week cruise. If you have the time, I mentioned this at the top of the show, but the Yocomico River on the Virginia shore is spectacular with beautiful anchorages, and it's got the small town of Kinsale, which is beautiful, with a restaurant and a few other amenities. And it's one of the whole Yocomico is probably 10 or 15 different anchorages in here. You can't go wrong with a stop in the Yocomico. Olverson's Lodge Creek Marina is the biggest marina in the area, and they consider themselves the friendliest on the bay, and I think that's well-deserved. Just across the river on the Maryland shore is Smith Creek, where you'll find Point Lookout Marina and Corinthian Yacht Club, two other very nice marinas. And Smith Creek itself has beautiful little anchorages where you'll be the only boat and surrounded by sandy beaches. It's truly worth a stop. And Smith Creek is just inside of Point Lookout, so even if you are rushing up the bay, it's a good place to know about, and you can pull in there for a night and be secure, good anchorage, and then back out and head up to Solomon's the next day. If you have time to explore the Chop Tank, Cambridge has a new municipal marina, which is exceptional, and the town itself has really come on strong with nice shops and nice restaurants. For a more laid-back experience, you would probably want to go to Oxford, which is a beautiful small town. It does have a small grocery store and several nice marinas and nice anchorages. It would be a shame to go up the bay and not spend at least a day in St. Michael's at the Maritime Museum there, because it has more information and examples of the local boats and workboats than any other place on the bay. And whether it's oyster dredges or crab scrapes or potters, log canoes, it's all there. And it's a great way to learn a lot about the history of the bay.
It sounds like there's quite a few museums at the various towns on the bay.
There are, and the three that I think are the most important are, if I had to say what I think is the most important, is the Calvert Marine Museum in Solomons, because where the Maritime Museum is all about the boats and the Europeans who are here, the Marine Museum starts with the earliest explanations of the geology of the area and the fossil history of the area and the indigenous people of the area, and then goes right up through the water, the European discovery, and the water-dependent businesses and boat building and oystering that have taken over the town. And so those are two museums that I really think if you want to understand the bay, you need to see both of those. And the third museum that I think is also essential is the Tangier Island History Museum and Cultural Interpretive Center. But those three facilities would be excellent to give you a background. Every town has, not every town, but virtually every town has interesting museums as well. Smith Island has one. They have a certain style of work boat out there called a crab scrape. It's unusual. Reedville was, for many years, the second largest seafood landing port in the United States, second only to Dutch Harbor, Alaska, because of the menhaden industry. And while there are environmental and social implications around whether or not we should be fishing so hard for menhaden, the museum in Reedville does a very good job of handling that. They have several local style work boats. They have a skipjack. They have a log canoe biboat, a log hull biboat. And so that's another museum that's worth seeing, in part because the whole issue for us living in the Chesapeake, the whole issue of fishing menhaden is very topical, and there are jobs at stake, but there's also other fisheries that depend on the menhaden. Annapolis has a nice museum up in Havre de Grace, is a great museum. But as we're going up the bay here, I've sort of stayed away from Baltimore only because it is a chapter unto itself. But if you can go to Baltimore, whether you want to take in an Orioles game, whether you want to eat over in Little Italy, there are four distinct regions in that harbor, and each one of them is worth a visit. It is in a city. There's no doubt about that. But that gives you so many opportunities for history and culture and sporting events. People I know will go up there and take us up just to go to the Preakness, to go to Orioles games, to go to Ravens games. So for those who want to do three and out, you're missing a lot. And whether you like to anchor and go to the small towns or you want to just see the nightlife in the big towns, it would be a shame to go up to Chesapeake and not spend a few days in Baltimore.
I imagine you could easily spend a week there if you had the time.
Janice, you absolutely could. I would like to actually go there for a week or two and spend 2 days at each of the four different regions of the city. As Janice knows, I retired 3 weeks ago, and even though my wife and I have averaged about 80 nights on the bay every year, we feel we don't know it, and we're spending 6 months exploring the bay now so we can really explore places we haven't been to. And I hope that means we'll get to spend a week or two in Baltimore.
That'll be a wonderful retirement trip.
Yeah. So those are sort of the must stops. Anytime you're cruising, trying to find a place to reprovision is a little bit tough. There are several marinas that do have loaner cars, and that's very handy. But as far as places where you can walk to a grocery store, Urbana, Virginia, which is a lovely little historic town with nice marinas and a nice anchorage, has a walk-to grocery store, as does St. Michael's. Solomons, it's a bit more of a walk. Annapolis, it's a bit more of a walk. So if you're trying to reprovision, St. Michael's and Urbana are probably the two easiest places. Other than that, you'll want to find a marina with a loaner car.
Okay, I think we're at a good place to stop, Tom. Do you agree? Is that convenient?
Yeah, that'll be
fine,
Janice. Yep, and next week I'd like to spend a little more time talking about some of the special places in the Southern Bay on the Eastern Shore that we love, and go into a little more depth on some of the upper part of the bay, because it's so often people are just rushing through it. And
I
know
that
you all...
Well, that sounds great, Tom.
Great,
I appreciate it.
Back,
have a great week. And we'll talk to you next week. Tom will be coming to us from Tangiers next week.
That's right.
Okay, let's hope we can get a connection.
If anybody needs a special, has any special questions, they should feel free to email me through the listserv for HGLCA.
You can just go onto the webpage and go into the discussion forum and go to the sub-forum on Chesapeake, or if you can't find it, just use general. And thank you all, and everybody have safe cruising this week. And Tom, have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Great.
Bye.
Thank you all. Thanks again, Jen.
Thank you. Bye.